Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Heck yes, it's the Raheemy Harris and Grody Show on a Wednesday. Thanksgiving is tomorrow, so happy Thanksgiving Eve to everybody. Bears and Eagles on Friday. Cannot wait. And let's talk to Mike Florio right now at ProFootballTalk.com. Mike joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Mike, how are you doing, my friend?
What's going on, guys?
A lot. All we do is talk Bears and Eagles in this city. That's all that's been going on, inside, outside, on the air, off the air. But what a great setup, I would say, for Prime and the Friday standalone game. Bears and Eagles, a couple of powerhouse fan bases and franchises with both these teams heading in at 8-3. Does it get any better for everybody involved, Mr. Florio?
Well, it's amazing that both of these teams are 8-3. When the schedule came out, I was kind of like, okay. Who knows what the Bears are really going to be by then? But the Bears have defied expectations, win 8 out of 9. But when you look at the schedule, you look at the games they've won, I'm sure you've beaten this topic to death. Things get a lot harder starting on Friday. You've got Eagles. You've got two games against the Packers, another game against the Lions, the Seahawks and the 49ers floating around in there as well. Is that right? Am I thinking of the right team, the right schedule? I don't know. It's all jumbled for me right now. But regardless, it's not going to be easy for the Chicago Bears down the stretch. I don't think they play both the 49ers and the Seahawks, so never mind that. But regardless, it's not going to be easy down the stretch for the Chicago Bears. They're going to have to prove it. And they're in a chance to compete. They've got a chance to win the division. They've got an outside chance at the one seed. The Bears, starting on Friday, we'll find out how good this team is.
Yep. Just to clarify, it's the 49ers, the Browns, who, you know, Shedeur Sanders is doing things. And then, of course, it's the Packers twice and the Lions in that final week at Soldier Field, Mike. So that kind of paints the picture of what the Bears have if they can get past the Eagles. Well, whether they get past them or not in a positive way, that's what's remaining on the schedule in those last five games. Mike, I'm curious. It seems like the NFL has really dialed up a winner, and not that they weren't going to win anyway, because that's just the way the ratings go on Thanksgiving. But these three matchups, they are intriguing. They are spicy, especially after Dallas beats the Eagles last week.
Well, and the Cowboys game against the Chiefs will be the most watched NFL regular season game of all time. The record's 42.1 million from Thanksgiving, middle of the afternoon, 3 years ago, Giants-Cowboys. This will shatter that, especially because Nielsen has this new number where everything's up by 10% because they're doing a better job of capturing out-of-home viewing. So I think 50 million is a possible number for that game. There's been some talk that maybe Lions-Packers will surpass the previous record because that Lions game is now appointment viewing and they started a little bit later in the day. It used to be an 11:30 a.m. Central start. It now starts at noon. And the night game, look, I mean, which doesn't belong and why? Bengals-Ravens, it's still a classic rivalry. It's Joe Burrow coming back. It's the Ravens needing to continue to win. The Bengals are probably already done, but this is a chance for them to show up in the closest thing to a playoff game they're going to have this year. And Burrow has said he wanted to come back and play in this game. They've been lobbying to play on Thanksgiving. They're getting the opportunity. So he'll be back, and we'll see what he can do.
But it'd be very fascinating. Talking to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk here on Raheem Harris and Grody on The Score. Mike, what do you think about what's been going on with the quarterback situation in Minnesota? I know that J.J. McCarthy is in concussion protocol, but they are starting a rookie quarterback in Max Brosmer this week. And so what do you think of J.J. McCarthy, and what do you think about the new starter for the Vikings?
Well, one of the reasons I like preseason football, one of the few reasons, frankly, that I even tolerate it, is to see if the rookie quarterbacks pass the eyeball test. And it's just one of those visceral things that you can glean by watching a guy play against NFL caliber competition for the first time. And we've had six regular season games now from J.J. McCarthy, and it's just not good enough. And the numbers back it up. If he had enough pass attempts to be among the qualifiers, he'd be dead last in passer rating by nearly 20 points behind Cam Ward of the Titans. That's how bad it's gone for the Vikings and for J.J. McCarthy. I don't think that this is a manipulation of the concussion protocol to soft bench him. I think he did get a brain injury. There was a moment in the game against the Packers where he took a big hit. Of course, the ATC spotter didn't press the button. We often see a failure there when the rest of us can say, that guy probably should be checked out. I think this gives him a chance to step back. And it gives the Vikings an opportunity to do something they failed to do in the offseason. They failed to engage in short-term and long-term strategic planning and thinking about the circumstances they were in. And when you let Sam Darnold leave, when you let Daniel Jones leave, when you say no thank you to Aaron Rodgers, we're going all in with J.J. McCarthy, who missed all of last season because of that knee injury he suffered in his only preseason game after becoming the 10th overall pick in the draft. There's so much pressure on this kid, and I think the biggest problem is he tries too hard and he thinks too much, and he's feeling that pressure. And I think the failure in the Minnesota organization was to not realize, hang on. We know we used a top 10 pick to get this guy, but circumstances have changed. And if we say goodbye to Darnold, goodbye to Jones, no thank you to Aaron Rodgers, we're just putting more pressure on him. And I think the pressure has been one of the reasons why he's been unable to live up to the expectations. And who knows how good he's going to be, but I think that's been an impediment. So the Vikings need to make a decision after the season that has nothing to do with justifying their past decisions. They got to forget about their past decisions. They got to make the right decision for the future of the franchise. They need to bring in a veteran who will compete, truly compete, like Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson this year in Indy, truly compete for the starting job.
Do you think, based on that, and I know you said that a lot of the reason, at least in your opinion, is that the pressure has gotten to J.J., but do you think that the Vikings think that he's not who they thought he was when they drafted him?
When you consider what Kevin O'Connell has done with every quarterback he's coached, yeah. I don't know how much of this is trying to jam J.J. McCarthy into the Kevin O'Connell offense. At times, I feel like there's more of that and not enough of what does it take to win the game today. They get away from the running game far too quickly. I think the running game helps fuel McCarthy. He only averaged 22 passing attempts per game in his final year at Michigan. Bo Nix had 33 per game. Those numbers add up, and that gap becomes jarring when you see the total passes thrown by each guy in his final college season. So it could be the Vikings got the evaluation wrong. It could be they believed too much of the hype from Jim Harbaugh, the former Michigan coach, who I think helped will McCarthy into the top 10. I think part of what Harbaugh was trying to do was to get McCarthy taken before the Chargers were on the clock that year at number 5 because they weren't going to take a quarterback. So I just think a lot of factors came together. And teams that aren't dysfunctional need to be willing to admit when they made a mistake. And when you double down on a mistake, you only make it worse. The biggest mistake the Vikings can make this year is to go into 2026 with McCarthy as QB1 and with a clear backup, this is a guy who's only here to be the understudy, not the guy who's going to compete. And we'll see what they do, because there aren't as many options this year as there were last year. They may have to trade for somebody like a Mac Jones to play that role of competition for McCarthy and maybe next year's starter.
We are talking with Mike Florio. He's the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. Layla's got the day off. Mike, speaking of understudies and whatnot, it's been fascinating to watch the evolution of the quarterback in Cleveland. Shedeur Sanders gets his first NFL start and becomes the first quarterback since 1995. Eric Zeyer out of the University of Georgia.
Eric Zeyer!
Yeah, to get a win in his NFL starting debut as a quarterback for the Browns. What do you make of the situation there, and can this stick for Shedeur Sanders?
Well, I get back to the eyeball test. Shedeur Sanders, and I know it was against the Raiders, but he passes the eyeball test. He did enough to win. He looks like he belongs. We've seen enough of Dillian Gabriel, I think, to know that he's not the long-term answer. That's what the Browns need to be doing right now, is looking for the long-term answer at quarterback. So I'd say finish the season with Shedeur Sanders. See if he can stay healthy. That's a key ingredient to whether or not you can perform as a franchise quarterback. You know, with McCarthy, I didn't even mention that. It seems like every other week he's got an injury. You got to be able to play within the abilities of your body to coexist among the other 21 guys on the field. And if you keep getting injured, you're not going to be good enough to be a franchise quarterback. So see if Shedeur can stay healthy. See if he can stay effective. See if he can develop and grow, because they got 2 first-round picks next year. And there's a presumption they're going to use one of them on a quarterback. Well, wait a minute. If Shedeur is good enough, you can use that first-round pick on someone else, and you can make your team better around the quarterback. But I think they need to see objectively whether or not Shedeur can be the guy, because if he can be, you can address other needs next year, and you don't have to keep chasing this idea that we're finally going to stumble into a franchise quarterback.
As far as you know, has he been a good teammate, good locker room guy, all that stuff where there might have been some concerns because of who he is and all of that?
There hasn't been any reporting, no unnamed sources about Shedeur disrespecting anyone or doing this or saying that. The bigger knock is he's got a level of confidence that some would say doesn't match his proven ability. Now, as he wins, the confidence becomes justified. He made the remark to CBS after the game last week, you know, I did that with 1 week of practice. Hey, look out if I get a full off season of first team reps. But that's just who he is, and that's part of what the Browns were drafting. And there's been this ambivalence that the organization has had toward him. It gets back to how analytics can overcome team building. You already picked a quarterback in round 3. And I know when you look at the board and you're up and Shedeur is there and there's a clear gap between him and the next best available guy because he's fallen so far. Well, we got to do the thing that gives us the best asset. You have to absorb that asset into your team. I feel like there hasn't been any issues within the team as it relates to Shedeur Sanders. And as he's playing, as he's winning, that look on Myles Garrett's face after, you know, Shedeur Sanders made a nice play, the team's going to rally around a guy who can make the plays, because the Browns have been waiting for a long time for a quarterback who can do that.
Myles Garrett, by the way, just incredible, man. Was he up to 18 sacks? Could very well break the record, Marshall.
Could he be the MVP, Mike?
Like, oh, man.
Is there a conversation? I mean, people are, you know, talking about defensive players on bad teams, but, like, you can't ignore the game wrecking that this man does every week.
Good God.
Can't be MVP of the league. Defensive player of the year, yes. He hasn't been winning defensive player of the week in recent weeks because his team doesn't win, but that's just an award that's basically pulled out of a hat by somebody in PR at the league office. That right. award means nothing. Defensive player of the year is going to be voted on by the 50 people who are on the panel. I think he is the front runner, clearly. The odds make it clear he's the front runner for defensive player of the year. If he sets a single season sack record, you just hand it to him at the end of the 17th game. But MVP is going to be impossible, because you've got to come from a winning team to be the MVP. It's just a given. And usually what it is, it's one of the quarterbacks from one of the top seeds. Last year defied that because the quarterbacks of the 2-1 seeds didn't get it in the AFC or NFC. It went to Josh Allen. But it's going to take something historic for a team that is winning. And I'd say a guy like Jackson Smith and Jigba, who may set the single season receiving record, maybe the first guy to go 2,000 yards. He's a guy that we need to pay attention to. Yeah. Christian McCaffrey may become the first guy to have 2 1,000-yard rushing, 1,000-yard receiving seasons. He's a guy that we need to pay attention to. And in Detroit, they got a guy, if they just give him the ball more, he'd be the runaway MVP.
Wow. So you're talking about a lot of non-quarterbacks. I had thought that Drake May, just because of, like you said, the quarterback conversation has been heavy with the MVP, that Drake May was kind of in the driver's seat, especially with the level of competition he has coming up. He can pad those numbers.
Right now, it's Matthew Stafford. And I think it's a combination of Stafford's never won it before, and you look at what the Rams are doing, and you look at what Stafford is doing. For a week or two, Drake May was the betting favorite. Right now, Stafford's the only guy in negative territory, and I don't know what the odds mean. It's a reflection of what the people think, but the voters come from the people. And, you know, you've got among these 50 voters, people who are following the league at different levels of precision and detail, and some just cover one team, but I think with 50 people, it's going to be likely to match what the public tends to think. And right now, the public thinks it's Stafford. And look, it comes down to, will the Rams be the one seed in the NFC? Will the Patriots be the one seed in the AFC? Because if the Patriots are the one seed and the Rams aren't, that's another argument in favor of Drake May.
Is Stafford a slam dunk Hall of Fame guy?
Yeah, he is at this point. First ballot,
drop the mic. I think what he's doing now is he's playing his way into the conversation of one of the best ever. And you've got Sean McVay saying this guy could play 10 more years. It's amazing when you think about the fact that the Rams allowed him to talk to any team he wanted to talk to.
Wow.
Back in February. If we had known then what we know now, they would have lined up out the door like they did for Peyton Manning in 2012. And the Rams have had a year-to-year vibe with Matthew Stafford. I think after this season, the Rams are going to say, "Oh, Matthew, no, you're under contract for 2026. We're not going to go year to year at this point. We're not going to let you go shop yourself around to maybe find another home." And I wonder if he was on the open market, what kind of a contract he would command. I'd say it'd be north of $50 million a year, 3-4 years. Because the guy, you know, as you get closer to 40, that's when the mobility becomes an issue. Well, his game's never been about mobility. It's like Tom Brady. The arm is there. And if anything, the arm's getting better for Matthew Stafford.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Like the conversation is pouring over into potentially best ever conversation for Stafford.
I think
depending upon how much longer he plays and what he accomplishes, he could get himself just into that debate of, you know, top five all time. His yardage numbers, they keep going up and up and up and up. He's got a good chance to finish in the top five there. And you get another Super Bowl win. Who knows? There's still chapters left in this book. But where he is right now, he's got a chance to be a guy that people look at and say, yeah, he's one of the best to ever do it.
While we're on this kind of topic about these voting at the end of season, I'm looking at the Coach of the Year very interestingly, because obviously there's a guy in New England who's done it before and is running away with that division at this point. But Ben Johnson, what would he need to do to kind of flip that on its head in your mind? And what are people saying about Ben Johnson that you're hearing around the league?
Well, it's amazing what he's done. And there's a former head coach, NFL head coach, who has a habit of just periodically texting me all these great things that he believes about Ben Johnson. And he doesn't even know Ben Johnson. But last year, out of the blue, this coach texted and said, this guy's the best play designer and play caller in the NFL right now. And it's not close between him and number two, which is kind of stunning when you consider Kyle Shanahan, Kevin O'Connell, Sean McVay. But 8 out of 9 wins, it all comes down to where the Bears finish. If they win the division, it's going to be him or Mike Vrabel, with maybe Shane Steichen in a position to interrupt it. One of these basic realities that we deal with, and I'm one of the voters, and the AP gets very nervous when I start saying, hey, I like this guy, I like that guy, but it's all the caveat of we don't make the votes until the season ends, but we make the votes right after the season ends. So usually by the time the last game has been played on NBC on that 18th Sunday night, we kind of have an idea. These things tend to resolve themselves. We see the playoff tree. We see the final stats. We see who's played in all 17 games, who's missed some time. These awards become a lot easier. And there are 5 now. It used to be 1 vote, 1 per player, 1 per award. Now you go 5 deep. And it's just a question of who gets the bulk of the first place votes. And I think right now, if we're doing the vote today, it's going to be Vrabel and Ben Johnson, with Vrabel probably winning it. But there's still a third of the season left to be played.
Makes sense to me. Mike, thanks for your time as always. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
Happy
Mike.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving. This segment is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
That was Florio, Pro Football Talk. Join the score this Friday at the Wall in Gurney Mills Mall, located at 6144 West Grand Avenue. Olin Kreutz, James Big Cat Williams, and it still says myself. We'll host our pregame show there from 11 to 2. Then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Philadelphia the day after Thanksgiving. Catch the game on the biggest of screens while enjoying all MVP comforts of a Marcus Theater. I do love the Marcus Theater. There will be drink specials as well. It's all happening at the Wall in Gurney Mills Mall starting at 11 a.m. this Friday. Coming up next on Raheemy, Harris, and Grody, we are going to talk fantasy football with Paul Charchian. But also, let's do a little bit of where are we now in terms of going back to the beginning of the season when it was Bears and Vikings, and the Vikings had the upper hand, no doubt about it, but the two teams have gone different ways since then. What do you say we bring that up to Charch?
We are definitely in a different place.
It's happening next on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think you're really underestimating the broad sexual appeal that I have.
Paul Charchian, fantasy football guru.
Did we get to find out now if all our fantasy drafts, we all love our teams right now. Half of us are going to be like, oh, what have I done?
Here's why we hate the Packers in Minnesota. Like you, we are a border state.
And these Packer fans need a job or a girlfriend. What do they do?
Not a job.
They come to a real
girlfriend.
Economy and a real city, and they don't leave their Packer fandom behind. They bring the arrogance that they have. And that's what makes the Packer fans insufferable.
Paul Charchian with Raheemy, Harrison, Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Yeah, Packers fans are insufferable. There's no doubt about it. I mean, just a chance to take a quick side swipe. I'm always down with that. Here on Raheemy, Harrison, Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Hope everybody is doing well. Let's get right into it. Fantasy football talk with Paul Charchian. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. What's going on, Paul? How are you, man?
Hi, Mark. Nice to talk to you again. I'm going to stand behind everything I said about the Packer fans last week. I think that's all 100% accurate. I am not, you know, but also that wasn't the full and complete list of reasons why Packer fans come to our better states, Minnesota, Illinois. I mean, there's also the ready availability of dentistry.
Wow. Shots fired. Charge is leaving nothing unturned here.
I can say this because I'm kind of fat right now. Has the shot made it there? You know what I'm talking about? That shot?
I know what shot you're talking about. Absolutely. See, Charge, why are you coming here firing bullets? It's a day of celebration. It's Thanksgiving Eve. But you wanna be that guy. That's fine.
I like it.
That's fine. Let's start with your team, though. The Vikings.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I can't believe we're here.
I know. I can't either. I mean, think back, guys. Mark Marshall, think back to week one. Bears, Vikings. And if you recall, that game went, J.J. McCarthy was not very good for three quarters. And then he ushered in statistically one of the biggest comebacks in NFL history.
Amazing.
In week one, it got named Offensive Player of the Year. And for in that moment, it looked just like the old Bears, didn't it? It was, you know, inventing ways to collapse and find losses
completely
against inferior opponents. I mean, it was in that moment, it couldn't. We got an entirely terrible read on both of our teams in week one. It's a lesson. You know, we thought we had found our next quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. We had thought that what he showed in the fourth quarter was just going to be the beginning of what was going to be a great career. And we thought that your team was going to continue to be perennial chokers. And as it turns out, the opposite has been absolutely true. And in Minnesota now, it's gotten to such a state where people are benching Justin Jefferson.
What? I start him every week. I don't have a choice. I got guys like, not guys I want to name on the air. Like, how's he on your fantasy team? But I got bad guys. But so he should be benched? Is that what you're saying?
Well, okay. So Vikings play Seattle right now. They're going to be starting an undrafted rookie, Max Brosmer, making his first NFL start against the Seahawks. This is over the last 5 weeks, the Seahawks have allowed the fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. In the last month of games, only Puka Nacua has topped 44 yards against Seattle.
Oh.
And Justin Jefferson, you know, obviously he's a great player, but you know, at some point your receiver has to get better quarterbacking than what the Vikings have been able to get out of J.J. McCarthy and now Max Brosmer. Did you guys, I don't know if you've seen the comparisons for J.J. McCarthy to Jamarcus Russell?
Oh, no. Ooh. Oh, no. We're doing that?
That's not favorable.
Let's do that. Let's do that. And please. As Bears fans, most of your listeners are, you can feel free to enjoy this. Through six starts, J.J. McCarthy neck and neck with Jamarcus Russell and his first six starts. And Russell actually leading McCarthy in yards, passer rating, fewer sacks absorbed, and has half the interceptions of J.J. McCarthy. And now the Vikings, and maybe it's true. I don't know if it's true or not, but a concussion that gets announced during the flight home, I've got concussion symptoms, and the team says, we don't know when the concussion may have happened, but now we've got J.J. McCarthy, who may or may not, he's in the concussion protocol, but the whole thing's so fishy that everybody assumes that they're just making excuses for McCarthy at this point. It's come to this in Minnesota.
Wow. It's like concussion protocol is like the new ambiguous back injury or whatever.
right?
Where, yeah, right. Go ahead. I dare you to find out if there is a, oh my God, man. So is he a bust? Like, is J.J. McCarthy, is he bad or is he just having some bad moments? I guess that's the question.
Well, Mark, here's the thing. He's not improving. I mean, through six games, what you want is, like, Josh Allen had a terrible start to his career. But with Josh Allen, you saw a handful of traits you could build around and go, oh, you know, he's got this amazing long pass. He's got the mobility. There were things that you want to be able to find out of a young, struggling quarterback that make you go, okay, if I can expand on what he does well, we're going to be okay here. The problem is I can't point to any trait that J.J. McCarthy has put on tape consistently that makes you feel like that's an NFL caliber trait. None.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, and, like, Jamarcus Russell could at least throw the ball deep back in the day.
he had that.
Yeah.
You know, and McCarthy is surrounded by most of the same players and same coaches that spun around Sam Darnold last year. And so, I mean, he's in such a good spot to succeed. And the fact that he can't and has looked this bad. I mean, he is supposed to be the purple savior. He's getting outplayed by purple drank.
Wow. I love that.
Okay, one more question on this, and then we'll get in deep on the fantasy stuff. Is this an indictment on Kevin O'Connell, who was supposed to be able to develop any quarterback?
Quarterback whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, quarterback whisperer. Do you guys remember when Mark Trestman was the quarterback whisperer?
Good God. Yes, we remember.
Why are you trying to take us back to the dark days?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's why I'm bringing it up. So Trestman had a long history in Minnesota, and I was on with, I'm trying to remember who the host that I was on with, and I think I coined that phrase for Mark Trestman.
Really?
And that's been a burden I've been carrying all this time. Yeah, I called him the quarterback whisperer on your airwaves. It picked up steam. You know, this is now 15 years ago or whatever, but yeah. So Kevin O'Connell, great question. he's been bulletproof in Minnesota
yeah.
because he's had all of these overachieving seasons, including last year, 14 wins. He's developed these quarterbacks. He got Kirk Cousins, the best play of his career, turned around Sam Darnold. It's starting to wear off, right? So he's got this armor. He walked into this season kind of bulletproof. The body vest, everything was there, right? You know, you felt like you couldn't really attack Kevin O'Connell, but now some of it's starting to happen, and we're starting to see people nitpick his schemes, his play calling, especially. This was a team that was supposed to be a balanced offense with running, and they didn't run. They've thrown too much with J.J. McCarthy. And now, last week, they implemented what should have been the easiest spot for J.J. McCarthy to succeed in. They ran the ball through the whole first half of the game, and they ran effectively. It was all short, high-percentage passes for J.J. Still didn't work. So a little bit of the shine is off Kevin O'Connell. They will almost certainly move on from their general manager, the Vikings will, this offseason.
Wow.
The question is, does the coach go with him?
We are talking to the Hall of Famer, fantasy football expert, Paul Charchin, here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. Let's get to these games tomorrow. It seems like there are opportunities here. I've got Joe Burrow on my injured reserve. I'm about to activate him. The question is, do I start him tomorrow? Is he a guy worth starting against the Ravens?
I don't think so. This feels like a Derrick Henry game because the Bengals are the worst run defense in the league. So we're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry. And even the backup, Keaton Mitchell, I think could have a role in this game. And Burrow's going to face a Ravens secondary. You can't just look at the full season numbers and get the picture. The first 5 weeks of the season, the Ravens were missing almost all of their secondary, and teams were throwing at them like crazy. But then in week six, the Ravens got healthy, and since week six, they've given up three touchdown passes total. That's it. This is a now fully healthy, very good secondary, and Joe Burrow's going to be without T. Higgins, who's going to miss for concussion reasons, and he's got to knock off 11 weeks of rust. I just feel like this is not a great spot fantasy-wise for Joe Burrow. I might chill out 1 week, see what we got here, and look to next week on Joe Burrow.
All right, this is a perfect question here because I had a gentleman from our sister station, B96, who does the afternoons, dash down the hallway. We were in the bathroom having a fantasy conversation in the bathroom. I know that sounds like all kinds of awful. I am not
doesn't sound great.
I am not a... Yeah, it was just, you know, we all have those awkward bathroom conversations. You got to talk about something. And he's asking me about Devin Neal and if he should start the running back Devin Neal of the Saints. Yeah, seriously. And here I am no fantasy expert, so I kind of just made up an answer. Paul, is this a guy that could be a league winning pickup in Devin Neal?
Yeah, you know, Mark, most of us have had the awkward conversations in the men's room, where yours is different is that you're playing crossfire at that point. And the most of the rest of us, it doesn't get to that level.
Yep.
Devin Neal is your new starting running back for the Saints. Uh-huh. Alvin Kamara is expected to miss this game and maybe quite a few more. He's got an MCL issue, but Kamara's been bad. And Neal looks pretty good. He was the entire Kansas offense last year, and he can catch. Last week, even though Kamara played the first quarter and then they turned it over to Neal, Neal played 90% of the snaps. He was targeted 7 times, which is more than Alvin Kamara had in targets in about a year and a half, week 4 of last year. So Devin Neal, he's slippery. He's got good footwork. He broke 4 tackles on Sunday, and it's the Dolphins coming up. Dolphins, bottom 10 run defense and receptions allowed to running backs, receiving yards allowed to running backs, rushing yards allowed to running backs, yards per carry. And the Saints have the easiest remaining schedule for running backs. Devin Neal might be this oddball pickup you can make right now that powers your team potentially for the rest of the year.
Charge, one more question before I let you go. I'm looking at specifically the Michael Wilson, Marvin Harrison Jr. comparison. Is Marvin Harrison Jr. behind Michael Wilson in terms of fantasy?
Well, maybe. I mean, so these last two games, Marvin Harrison's out, appendicitis. Michael Wilson, get a load of these two game totals. 33 targets, 25 catches, 303 yards in two games. Needless to say, this blows away anything Michael Wilson has ever done in his career, but also more than Marvin Harrison has ever done in his entire career. It's an astounding turn for Michael Wilson. And yesterday, their offensive coordinator for the Cardinals, Drew Petzing, confirmed that Wilson's going to be elevated in the progression reads even after Marvin Harrison returns. And it looks like Arizona's going to continue to throw Jacoby Brissett's arm out of socket, which is what they've been doing the past couple of weeks. So, yeah, I think Michael Wilson right now feels like he remains a fantasy starter, and that includes when Marvin Harrison comes back.
Charge, great stuff as always. Thank you very much. I hope that you and everybody else in Minnesota has a wonderful Thanksgiving, and may we all continue to rip the Green Bay Packers.
See, that's what unifies us,
yes.
Is a hatred of the Packers, yeah. A loathing of the Packers, and the arrogance of their fan base.
I'm good with that.
Thank you, my friends. Yep. Have a great holiday.
I'd like a little more green in my pocket and a little more gold, too. So, yeah.
Well, we'd take both of those.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Thank you, my friends.
Happy
bye-bye.
Thanksgiving, Charge.
Yeah. There goes Paul Charchian, our fantasy expert here at The Score. When we return on Raheemy Harris and Grody, first of all, I have to deliver something to you that I didn't even think about. We completely missed the biggest game of consequence since what is going to go down on Friday, because we were talking about that. We were thinking about past regular season games of consequence.
I think I know this.
You know where I'm going?
You've seen the textures. Well, I think so, because I almost suggested it, and then I was like, that's going to be... Yeah.
It's not necessarily in the spirit of the question.
Right.
But I will, because several textures have said it, so I'm going to deliver that. Plus, let's update what's going on with the Bears' injuries and what could happen with all of that as well. And shout out to our texters and our Twitchers. What is going on, Twitchers? Our video producers are Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. So shout out to all of them. We appreciate all of you. It's Raheemy Harris and Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Raheemy Harris and Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Everything we do is all about developing and preparing, because you never really know when that opportunity is gonna come up. So we do a lot extra with the guys that aren't necessarily expected to play a lot of snaps, because eventually they have to play snaps.
Snappy, right. Like Pat Manley's nickname. That's Dennis Allen, the Bears defensive coordinator. Bears and Eagles this Friday. Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
What's Dennis Allen's nickname? Smart guy.
The DA.
Okay, you got me. You got me. Yeah. You were ready for me that time.
Well, everybody,
you're usually not ready for my questions. You were ready that time.
You're right. I am never ready for your questions. They come in a flurry. That's what it is. And then usually when you're asking the question, you have a very expecting look on your face. I think that is what it is. Like, you go ahead and try to answer these questions here. It's a little martial quiz.
I like to lead the witness, yeah, as they say.
Yeah.
Like that chair feels very good until you feel like, wait, am I on the witness stand? And then it's, oh.
Oh, man. By the way, we are having a little party here right now. The Jets Pizza. We just have food here every single day is really what's going on.
Do you have a problem with that?
Zero problem with it. Zero. But the food has arrived. It's like we're city pigeons. You know, eventually I'm going to expect you to be feeding this to me. And when it doesn't get fed, I'm going to die. Like those poor pigeons out there.
I don't want you to die. Mm-hmm. You can also feed yourself outside of the work hours.
Okay.
So take that into consideration.
But Jets Pizza is here for our guy, Robbie Triano.
Detroit style for the Detroit guy.
It's his last day. The tree.
It's my last day.
The tree is leaving. If you were a tree, what kind of a tree would you be?
Oak. Maybe an oak. Okay. Maybe an oak.
Strong and
maple.
Sturdy.
Yeah, strong and sturdy. Yeah, I'm pretty partial to the maple, but that's just me.
I like maple syrup.
Yeah, well, absolutely delicious. So,
are you trying to drink me?
Not well, you, Robbie. You're an oak tree. We just established this. We just established this.
I'm a maple tree now.
So be around at the end of the show because you know we'll have to say our goodbyes to Robbie. Layla already had his moment with Robbie. He's got the Josh Giddey jersey, the Jets pizza. You know, we're just spoiling this guy over the last 3 days, I tell you.
Maybe we're doing too much.
Yeah, I don't deserve any of this at all.
We have officially done too much. The Bears injury report will come out a little bit later on. If you didn't hear what the injury report was yesterday or up until this very moment, this still exists. They had a walkthrough practice yesterday. So participation is an estimation. So if they would have practiced, the following would not have practiced. TJ Edwards, Tyreek Stevenson, Noah Sewell, Luke Newman, Dominique Robinson, Ruben Hippolyte did not practice yesterday. Full participants yesterday, Theo Benedet, Kyler Gordon, Jalen Johnson, Kyle Manungai, and Travis Homer would have been a full participant in practice yesterday. So let's do a drill here, Marshall, with the offensive line and with the secondary. You know, let's start with the offensive line because you brought this up backstage today. If Theo Benedet and Ozzie Trapillo are both 100% healthy and ready to go in this game, does Benedet just go right back in as your left tackle?
I think at this point he does, because what I've seen from Theo Benedet is I think we can agree that he is the better run blocking left tackle. And for Ben Johnson's scheme to work against Vic Fangio, the threat of the run has to be prevalent. It has to be something that scares Vic Fangio to a degree. Like the caution has to be there because the explosive plays run out of the fact that, oh, if we come, you know, get him off balance, here comes the explosive play. They've got to be able to run the football. They did not establish the run early in that game last week.
Well said. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it would be presumptuous and disrespectful and almost silly to not bring in the guy. Like Ozzie Trapillo had a terrific game.
He did.
There's no doubt. Like he didn't do anything wrong. But Benedet is the guy. So I agree with you there. Now it gets a little bit more interesting with this question. If and I know that Dennis Allen, the DA, is going to use lots of guys, and you got to get everybody in there. And we've got all sorts of different scenarios. We have an embarrassment of riches. It's a good problem to have. But if you are starting your base defense on the field and you have starters, and that's still significant, you know, the starting guys on defense and offense, there is a pride factor that goes into it. If Kyler Gordon, let's do the same drill. If Kyler Gordon is good to go, ready to go, full, you know, he is fully healthy. He will play. He is over the injury. Do you start him in the slot or C.J. Gardner-Johnson? And if we're just doing this exercise as a starter, and again, I know that everybody's got to get used and you could, you know, bring guys in and bring them out, all that kind of stuff. Guess what? C.J. Gardner-Johnson right now is the better option, is the more impactful player until he's not. And that's no shade or disrespect to Kyler Gordon. It's just that C.J. Gardner-Johnson is playing that well right now.
What did Ben Johnson say? That's when the fun starts?
That's when the fun starts.
Well, the fun starts if Kyler Gordon is available on Friday, which I expect him to be based on everything that everybody's saying.
Yeah, how you going to keep everybody happy? Is that fun? Whoa. Making pleasing people? Is that fun?
It's easy, I think, in this case, because it's, hey, Kyler, you've had some interesting history. Would it please you to stay on the field this time?
Yeah, gratifying, all that stuff.
Yeah, so I think for this situation, it actually works in both the player and the coaching staff's benefit to have Kyler Gordon be slowly worked in off the bench. Yes, CD Gardner Johnson, he gets the start, but then you just work Kyler Gordon in different creative schemes, because now the creativity out of necessity, out of desperation, goes away for Dennis Allen, and now it is time to have fun and be creative because you have multiple playmakers at the same position.
Yeah. Texter 847, Gordon over Johnson, right over Stevenson. That's another one. Look, to me, that's almost no-brainer at this point. If Tyreek Stevenson is healthy, and he's not right now, he's got a hip injury, it's Nashawn Wright, and if he's healthy, Jalen Johnson as your starters on the outside, right? There's no debate there, right?
You know what the injury is for Tyreek Stevenson?
The injury for Tyreek is a hip.
Yeah. What do cornerbacks really need when they're doing their thing?
Yeah. Go read some of those, the Dane Brugler. He'll tell you all about the hips.
So, this is an easy call. Nashawn Wright, Jalen Johnson, if they're healthy. But also, if Tyreek Stevenson is healthy and that hip is not a problem, which it's hard to imagine that would be the case 5 days after injuring the hip. But if it is the case,
all hands on deck, man.
You also work Jalen Johnson and Tyreek Stevenson in accordingly, too.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be 100 snaps. What if they're ready to go, though, man? Like, you don't want to ease anybody in. If they're good to go, they're good to go, right? Full-time?
I think in a regular season, and when I say regular season for the Bears, that means a non-playoff season.
Yeah.
In a regular season, you're not worried about, is he going to be there at the end of the season?
I mean, that's
fair.
But
now the most important thing is to have him the final month of the season.
Yeah, I'd prefer if these guys are 85%, I say sit him.
Exactly.
I don't even say ease him in. I say I'm still okay and comfortable enough with sitting him. Real quick, because we got to get to five on it. Just want to pay off we talked about most consequential Bears games since what we believe to be the most consequential game in years. And we didn't say it because it really wasn't necessarily the spirit of the conversation. We were being positive. But texters are right. The most consequential game occurred last year on Thanksgiving because it was of consequence in a big way. If they win that game, is the flu still here?
No.
If tragedy doesn't occur...
No.
Even Flutes is like, no.
He may have made it to the end of the season, but we knew what time it was.
Yeah, it was
Everyone knew it. He was on borrowed time at that point.
No doubt.
Remember, he came in, had his press conference, thought everything was good, and what happened next? He got fired.
His rhymes were not on time. Yeah, you're right. He would not have survived. But boy, what a consequential moment that was. And just with everything, with that locker room, I was there with what was going on in the locker room. And I don't know if the full story has ever even been told, but I think that the people have the majority of what happened on that Thanksgiving day at Ford Field. Quite a day to remember. Let's do this. It is time for five on it. We have five really important questions that we would like to ask you coming up next on Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season.
From crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.